I want to read two chapters to you tonight. Thank God they're in the book of Psalms. And they're three verses apiece, so you won't be standing long. But I want to read two psalms separated by one other chapter, but I want these two, Psalms 131 and 1. A psalm of David, he says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Then verse or chapter 133 and 1 through 3. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, exclamation point. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. I want to talk about the commanded blessings, of the Lord. Lord, I come before you tonight. I'm thankful once again. It seems like every Tuesday gets here so quick and time just keeps passing by. But Lord, we're thankful for every opportunity that we have to explore your word. And Lord, we ask you to enlighten us with your word and let us live out the word and travel as we go day to day that we can be an epistle read and known of all men that we do serve the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. And I mean that. It seems like every time I turn around, it's Tuesday. Or it's the next Sunday. Is it like that for y'all? It just poop, poop. Man. I want to talk about these two chapters. So just a Bible study for you tonight. These two chapters. The first one, David declares that his heart is not haughty. And I will tell you, you will never, ever go any place with God with a haughty heart. You never will go anybody. God, the Bible says that his word is a discerner and the thoughts of your heart. You can't even have an intention of having a hearty heart. God reads it right away. And so David perhaps had been through some times in his life where he had a haughty heart. And maybe he had some proud moments. Perhaps you have as well and I have as well. But he had come to the place in his life where he had settled down. He said, Lord, my heart is not haughty. It's not full of mischief or arrogance. My heart is pure. I am sincere. Neither are mine eyes lofty. I'm not looking up. I'm not trying to lift myself up. I'm not trying to be seen in other people's eyes. He said, exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. And I will tell you, that's not pumping iron and playing golf and things that are too high for me. It's about I don't exercise myself in matter. I don't get involved. I'm not involved with all the politics I could get involved with and all the business arrangements I could get involved with and things that are really too high for me and act like I know what I'm doing. He said, Lord, I'm through with that. I'm through with having a haughty heart, lifting myself up. I'm tired of acting like I'm somebody I really am not. And David had come to that place that knowing that trying to be somebody that you're really not is the way of a transgressor. It is the way of a transgressor. It is the way of the hypocritical, if you will, to try to act like I'm something that I'm really not. The Bible says in doing so, the only one you deceive is yourself. And so it displays poor behavior and poor character of someone who is trying to be something they're not. And then he says, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. He's saying that he's already been through the phase of his life where he at one time did depend on somebody else for his nourishment and for his support. And as long as there was somebody else to help me, I leaned on them. As long as I could lean on, as a child could lean on his mama, he's going to lean on his mama. Or his daddy, or somebody else. And every time I cried, they came running. I was crying for them instead of you. I was crying for them to help me instead of in my distress. I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. I was looking for someone else to solve my problems. But he realized that as a baby needs its mother for a season of time, but there comes a time, the weaning season, if you will, where you have to walk with God on your own. Nobody can hold your hand. Hallelujah. And as a child is weaned from his mother, when it is weaned, its behavior changes. Let me tell you something. It is the mama that weans the child. It's not the child that weans themselves. Because you will see kids running around with pacifiers at 4 years old and 5 years old. It's not because the kid wants to put it away. It's because mama didn't put it away. Daddy didn't put it away. Because they many times didn't want to deal with what you deal with during the weaning season. It is a very crying, very needy, and it's disturbing, and I can't sleep. Because if they're not sucking the pacifier, then they'll find their thumb. They'll find something, and you'll see, I've seen one 14-year-old could not get that thumb out of their mouth. 14 years old. But when somebody else was around, she would put it, because she was embarrassed. But somehow they were never weaned. Somebody, and it was a divorce situation, and I'm sure there wasn't, you know, how it is in a divorce situation, many times one doesn't want to be the bad guy. So they depend on the other one to do it, and guess what? It doesn't get done. And so he's comparing it to this every time you if you're going to wean a child, there's going to be some crying. There's going to be some defiance. But every time they need weaning or cry, they look to you. And it's like, I mean, when I was growing up, sometimes it's like you didn't have a lot to play with. I mean, you know, like they do today. I mean, Lord. Can't stop at a red light. I'm like, I was trying to be a Christian, you know. It's time to go. And she's... David said, my soul is even as a weaned child. My soul. Now listen, he's comparing it to a little child that's being weaned from the mother. He said, my soul's just like that. Somebody wins you to the Lord, you think they have all the answers. Well, I'm not telling you they can't help you, but after a while, you got to go to him for answers. After a while, there's been people I've helped in life many times, and I'm like, okay, you know, I've done my part. He said, I had to pull away. They pulled away from me. I didn't want to pull away. They pulled away from me. Mama had to pull away from you. And so David says, once you get weaned, my soul is weaned. Then the next verse he said, let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. See, once you finally get weaned, you don't go back to mama anymore. Once your soul finally gets weaned of being the crybaby, there's, oh, Lord. Lightest little thing. Yeah. Cry. Bellyache. Get weaned. Grow up. And so once you finally get weaned, it's like David looked back and said, how foolish I was. You remember he wrote a chapter, how foolish I was. You go back, what was all that crying? Why did I get involved with that situation? It wasn't even my dog in the fight. And you got caught up in all this stuff. And you know what? When you get caught up in all that stuff, you're exercising yourself in matters that you don't belong in. David said, let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. So in this chapter, David is established the need to mature. It is the need to grow up. It is the need to have your faith and your hope in Christ. Because if you have it in somebody else, you may be disappointed. And it's not that we don't need each other. He's not teaching that, because I'm going to show you in this next chapter, he teaches us that once you mature, you come together as brethren. So he says in this next chapter, he talks about the benefit of being mature and coming back together. It's not that I can't live for God if you backslide, or you backslide, or you know, even my mom or daddy, they backslide. That doesn't mean I can't live for God. But there is a blessing of coming together. And this is what we're going to talk about, this commanded blessing. There is a blessing of us coming together. That's why we're all here tonight, right? We're here because you felt the need to come and be with your brothers and sisters in the Lord and worship together and pray together and sing some songs together. Even before Christ was crucified, what did they do? They prayed together and sang songs. They realized we need each other. And so he's not teaching that we don't need each other. He's teaching let's grow up so we can get along with each other. And so he's talking here in this next chapter about coming together. And he said, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Well, how good is it and how pleasant is it? He compared it. He said, it's like the precious ointment that ran down upon the head. Now listen close. From the head down the beard, even Aaron's beard. What was Aaron? He was the high priest. Even Aaron's beard to the skirts of his garment. It had continuity. It had a flow to it. It started here and went all the way down. So that it was just a flow of unity. You see? If I pour enough oil on you up here and you want me to pray for you, eventually it's going to run down your face, onto your clothes, on down to your feet. Okay? Because it's going to flow. It was all connected. So he's talking about how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And he compares it to this oil that is poured upon the head, the blessing that pours, and it just continues to flow all the way down to the skirts of the garment. And so then he says it's as the dew of Hermon, or as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. You know, how many of you men ever been camping? You ever been camping? You ever slept outside camping? You know what it's like in the morning? I mean, everything is wet. It doesn't say, well, dew's going to light here, but I'm not going to light here. Or I'm not going to get on that blanket. I don't want to be. When the dew, it's unified. It treats one place just like it does another place. It settles. It's so it is on the mountain of Zion. That's how much unity it just covers. So he compares this brethren and getting along as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Now listen, and there, the Lord commanded the blessings even life forevermore. Let me tell you, I want to talk about these commanded blessings. These are blessings that God commands. See, we get kind of stuck in the trap of, Lord, bless me, Lord, heal me, Lord, do this. But these are not commanded blessings. Not necessarily, because commanded blessings comes when there is unity. It was there that the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. And I'm telling you, there really is no life if there's not unity. Your body has to be in unity with itself. And there's no life in a church if there's discord, if there's strife. It's the killer of life. And so when you have this kind of atmosphere of unity, and you don't have, I mean, Lord, bless my daddy. I'm good, y'all, compared to when there was a baby crying. You take that baby out. Come on, mama. You better say, yeah, that's what he did. That baby would, you know that to be a fact? I got witnesses here, so. And it wasn't even being mean. It destroyed his continuity of thought. Somehow, Lord, I've said, Lord, I'm looking up yonder, Lord. Because it seems like every time I read my text, but I'm up there somewhere. I'm preaching to the angels, you know. And I have to pray, Lord, I can't lose my thought, my continuity, my thought. And so my dad was, and you knew what that meant. And so you have to have unity in everything you do. Now, listen close, because there's no need to bless a home if there's not unity. No. You see, God commands blessings and he commands cursings. I'm not saying that you're not blessed every day you get up and have air to breathe. But I'm talking about these blessings that God brings to you because you're unified. Hallelujah. He commands also cursings. When we look at these commandments of blessings and cursings, he commanded cursings upon Pharaoh, did he not? And all of the Egyptians, he commanded them. Who did he talk to when he commanded them? The frogs. He talked to the frogs. He talked to the lice. He talked to the, what else did they have? Locusts. He talked to the locusts. He talked to all the, so when he commanded these curses, he talks to something else to bring it to pass. So that when he blessed them in the wilderness, when they wanted meat to eat, he commanded the quail. he talked to the quail, and the quail came in. When he wanted them to catch fish and cast on the other side, he'd talk to the fish and said, come on in, fish, it's time to get closer. And he drew them in. So God, he's a commanding God. Last time I checked, a Lord is something, he's over something, right? If you look, and I was doing a study on this, and I'll go ahead and mess it up right now so I won't have to preach it. When you look at creation, the Lord, it starts off and says, and God said. You have to watch it. It says, and God said. But then when he made man, it became the Lord God. He changed from God to the Lord God because he was Lord over his creation. And then you look a little further, and then when man began to create things, he became Lord. He was Lord over their creation, but he was Lord God over his creation, and he was God of the universe. It's a good little study. Maybe I'll do it later. But it changed in the relationship. But lordship means in having authority over. And that's why they called him Lord. And so as a Lord, he issues commandments of blessings and commandments of cursings and things like this. And there is this chain of command and events that takes place to those who understand, and only to those who understand the power of unity. When we all come together, the Bible says they were all in one place. And they were all in one accord and all in it, and it filled all. You know how many alls are in there? There's a lot of alls in there because there was unity there. And if ever you could get a group, I don't care if it's two or three, but if you could ever get them all together, whoo, hallelujah, the Lord said, I'm there. And that's where the commandments of blessings come. And whatever God commands, no man can stop it. You might remember there was a Gentile centurion that came to the Lord, and you know, Gentiles weren't, you know, Jews weren't supposed to come in their house or anything like that. And so he was a centurion. He was a soldier, but he was a commander too. The best commanders are the ones that have been soldiers, right? And so he comes to the Lord and he says, Master, he said, I am a man in authority and I'm a man under authority. I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say, come, and he comes. He said, I have a servant grievously sick of the palsy at home, and you don't need to come under my roof. And the Lord said, I will come. He said, no, you don't need to come. Just speak the word. Command the blessing. See, this man was a soldier. He knew what commandments and saying the word meant. You don't have to come. I understand unity. I understand the commandments of the Lord. I understand the commandments of men. I understand that a commandment is a chain of things. So if you will speak the word only, my servant over there will be made whole. Hallelujah. And the Lord commanded the blessing, and before he got home, his servant was already whole. That's when you understand what unity brings. Likewise, you need to understand what discord and strife brings. It destroys unity completely. And that's, again, that's what I was saying about things, distractions that go on. Even when you try to preach, it destroys it. And so when we all come together and we all listen, and people, and I hope I don't preach so bad that you've got a nod, but there's times I have to look at somebody else to preach to. That's why I look. I go, I'm going to find me somebody that's listening, and I'm going to preach to them so you nod, you know. And maybe you had a long day, and maybe I'm boring. I don't know, but I'll preach to the angels. So blessings of commandments. I'm afraid too many times we keep praying for these miracles when we just need to get in harmony with the Lord. And again, there's really no need if you got a marriage that's struggling, and why would you bless where you're supposed to be unity, right? Why bless where if you can't get it right married, I can hand you $1 million and it'll cause further damage than you waiting on your check in the mail to pay your bills. Where there's not any unity, you can be dirt poor and have unity. It reminds me of a lady that went to a mission field, and she went in there to a little cabin, and they said, this is your cabin. She went in there and said, Lord, these floors are filthy. So she got her a bucket of water, and she began to wash these floors and wash them. She'd sweep it off. She said, Lord, they're still filthy. And she washed, and she washed it, soap and water, and you know how it goes. And finally she said, look, these floors, I don't know what to do. They're still filthy. She said, well, man, that's a dirt floor. So if the home is not in harmony, I don't care what you bring in the home, it'll destroy it. Are you with me tonight? It takes, if you want the commandments and the blessings of God, it requires following the commandment of the Lord to receive the blessing. And I begin to think of how many go wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, he could have washed some other place. But he had a commandment on his blessing. His commandment was, go wash. Jesus could have easily said, thy eyes be open. But he put him on one of those commanded blessings so that if he follows the commandment, he receives the blessing. And the Bible says, and he came again seeing. Right? And so many of these things in the Bible, the 10 lepers, he said, go show yourself to the priest. That was the commandment. If they'd said, nah, I ain't going to go show the priest, they'd have died lepers. But as they obeyed the commandment, the Bible says, as they went, you know, that spot's not as big as it was just a few moments. It's getting smaller while I'm talking to you. And they kept walking. And I preached you a sermon about God's blessings somewhere along the way. You just keep living this thing out. You just keep walking this thing out. You keep obeying the commandments. You just keep being obedient to the word of the Lord. And keep having unity with your brothers and sisters. And after a while, you know what? That thing is just gone. And if he don't heal me, he will one day. But I'm going to obey the commandment of the Lord. And as they went, all 10 of them got healed. But one came back and said, Lord, oh, I just want to, Lord, if it had to have been, thank you, Jesus. And he says, where's the nine? Where's the nine? You see, when God gives you these blessings, he wants you to give him the glory for those blessings. Hallelujah. And so many times we find that if we don't obey the commandments of the Lord, you don't receive the benefits. Naaman had to go wash in Jordan. Not any other river would do. It had to be Jordan. It had to be seven times. But the Bible says when he went down the seventh time, he come up and his flesh was that as a baby's. Hallelujah. One more example and I'll leave you alone. Hallelujah. I don't hear no babies crying, so. I recall when Jesus had done a lot of miracles. I was reading this just earlier today, and he had done a lot of miracles, and he was doing so many miracles that they just wanted to follow him to see the miracles. And they just begin, Lord, let's go. That's unbelievable. And so they follow him out into a desert place. You know the story, out into a wilderness. And it's getting late, and they're hungry. And so the disciples come to Jesus and say, What do you want us to do? You want us to send them away? He said, they need not go. And he said, well, what are they going to eat? He said, well, what do you have? We don't have anything. Well, look. And they go and they find a little lad, you know, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. Little fish. Minnows. and so he said, hey, all we have, Jesus, is this. He said, that's good. And one of them kind of popped off and said, Andrew, I believe it was, he said, but what are they among so many? What is, you know, sometimes you look at the size of your problem and somebody says, well, let me help you. And it's just such a little bit of what you really need. It's like, what's the use? And you go, my problems are so big that, but in the hands of the right one, in the hands of the right one. He said, bring that to me. And then Peter said, Lord, it would take 200 pennyworth to buy enough to feed this crowd. You know, and jumping ahead, you know, there was 5,000 men that ate. Well, think if each man had a wife and they had one child, because there was kids there too. That'd be 15,000. 15,000. That's unreal. And we have, you know, 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. I know why he said, Lord, you got to be kidding me. He said, everyone wouldn't get but a bite if we bought 200 penny worth. So what is that? And sometimes we look at our situation as being so dire, so out of hand that what's the use? Right? You ever been there? And so here's the miracle right here. Here's the miracle. He didn't just take the bread and say, okay, here you go. He commanded them. He commanded them to sit the men down. What for? This has nothing to do with, as if we got something to feed them. What for? He said, I want you to do more than that. He said, I not only want them to sit down, I want them to be in groups of 50 and 100. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay, 50. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And you know when you do all that math, 5,000 men is 50 groups of 100. And all we got is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. How far would you have went for you to said, this is useless. This is crazy. I'm going to McDonald's. How far will you follow the commandment to get the blessing? So they did. They sat them down. And he said, bring me what you have. And this is what I like. I think I might have these scriptures. Yes, I do. It's John 6 and 11. And Jesus took the loaves. Woo, you got to let him take it. You got to let him take what you got. Make me a cake first, right? You've got to give him what little you get. Well, Lord, here. He took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it. He distributed it, notice the order, to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. If you're going to stand up, you don't get any. So sit down. And likewise, the fishes, as much as they would. I think I'll take an extra piece of that fish. Give me another piece of bread. As much as we only had 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. And it multiplied. Now, watch how it multiplied. He took the loaves, give him what you have. He blessed it. He broke it. And it multiplies. See, you got to break it to multiply it. You've got to be broken to multiply. If you ever show me a preacher that says he's never went through anything, he won't be my pastor. Not until he's broken. Everybody that's going to be in any kind of ministry has got to be broken, because you can't multiply until you're broken. You learn from your brokenness. And so he blessed it, he broke it, he multiplied it, and then he distributed it to them, and they distributed it to the hungry souls. Isn't that what Christ, God, does with us? He takes us, he blesses us, he breaks us, he multiplies us, and he gives us to a broken world or to a hungry soul in the world. You won't benefit anybody without ever being broken. You've got to have your testimony is this is what the Lord has done for me. This is where he brought me from. This is what I've been through. He's healed me of this. You've got to have a testimony to convince the world. They were following him for the miracles. And then they got out there and found out, Lord, we really need a miracle here. 5,000 men, as they come this evening, 5,000 men. And what's interesting, in those days, they only counted the men. But guess who had the lunch? The one they didn't count. And many times your blessing comes from a place you're not counting on. Of all the men they counted, they didn't count the one that had the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fishes. Left him out. But he is the one that had the goods. And I'm afraid this evening, sometimes we leave out people, omit things. Well, that's not necessary. That's not necessary. It's just a little boy. When he took the bread and the fishes from that little boy, I don't read where he said, no, that's mine. What am I going to eat? He just said, here, here. Here. And Jesus took it. You know that little boy got to eat too? He got to eat too. He didn't leave him out. Now, here's the amazing thing. It's all amazing, but eat as much as you want. Some more? Oh, no. I can't, went from a famine, if you will, to I can't eat anymore. He said, pick up the fragments. Pick up the scraps so that nothing be lost. Now guess what else? They filled the baskets too. Everything that was empty got filled that day. The people got filled till they couldn't have any more. And the Bible says, and they filled 12 baskets. I imagine it had 13 baskets. That had been 13 baskets. Whatever you have empty is what I'm trying to teach you. He can fill. When you learn to be obedient to the word of the Lord, you say, well, I give this and I give that, and Lord, I do this, and I'm always there for that. That's good. But obedience is better than all your time and all your money and all your attendance will not outdo obedience. And if you want to be filled, you want to be whole, you want to be well, I encourage you tonight as you stand to have unity in every place you can have unity. Because where unity is, there is a flow of things. And there he commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. Hallelujah. Let's sing.